Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
And hopefully you are not just watching on the small screen of your phone, but you have cast it to the big screen in your living room or office, and we want you to cut everything else out for the next 25 minutes, 30 minutes, and hear what God has to say. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Therefore, come out from them. Oh, that baby said amen. Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. That's not what your mama said, your daddy said. God said, come out from them and be separate. Touch no unclean. Don't even touch it. And I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, trust the process. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him, sanctification is now in progress. Amen. You may be seated. Our series for Wednesday nights in April is Sanctified. Trust the process. Sanctified is a church word. Sanctification, it is a process. It's a process that I believe every believer should go through. Let me say that again. Every believer should be going continually through the process of sanctification. Last week, we broke down the word sanctify. It means to make holy. So that means to become more like God. If you're not becoming more like God in your walk with God, you're doing it wrong. Or maybe you're walking with a little g God and not God Almighty, not Jehovah God. It says to make holy, to set apart as sacred, to consecrate. Sanctify means to purify, to free from sin. Aren't you glad that we don't just celebrate the resurrection on a Sunday in the spring? But every day of our lives as believers, we get to walk free from sin. We don't have to carry past mistakes, failures, and sin. But because we are sanctified, we don't carry sin with us. And then sanctify, I love this because I'd never read this definition, but on further and deeper diving, sanctify means to make productive or make conducive to spiritual blessing. Too many of us have heard the word sanctified, which sounds like a finished product, and not sanctify, which is where we continually should be. Sanctification, the process, it is a process. And when we say things like trust the process, we're really not trusting the process, we're trusting the God in the middle of the process. That there is something that we must go through, and when we go through it, hopefully we are growing in it. And I believe that through the process of sanctification, cutting some things out of our life, getting closer to Jesus, more than a Wednesday or Sunday expression, but actually living with Jesus, following his word, becoming a student of the word of God. The Bible says things like study to show yourself approved. That is not a preacher scripture. That's a believer scripture. All of us should be studying his word. Life is an open book test. If you fail, you're not in the book enough. Come on now. We come to church for 2.5 hours a week, and we think we can pass the test of life when we used to go to school 5 days a week and we failed the algebra test. And algebra is not near as important as eternity in your life. And so we've got to go through the process, and it is a process. Sanctification is the process between pain and promise, between preparation and promise. And the four things we ended last session talking about is the four things that the process we find in the middle of the process. We find punctuality. That's the right time. If you've heard anybody, even non-believers will tell you, timing is everything. Being in the right place at the right time can open you to new relationships, new opportunities. But being in the wrong place at the wrong time can open you up to bad opportunities and bad relationships, or maybe just missing somebody by 2 or 3 minutes can literally make you miss out on something that was God ordained. And so in the process, we find punctuality. I want to be on God's time, because after all of the time that I've been living in, all of the time in the Word of God, one thing that I found out, church, is God is never late. As the senior saints used to say, he may not come when you want him to, but he is always on time. He's not on your time. He's not on my time. He's not on political time. He's not on culture time. He is always on his time, which is a perfect time. The process produces perseverance. That's the right mentality. If you're going to be what God has called you to be, you are going to have to submit to him in the process. And in the process, you are going to find a persevering spirit and a persevering mentality, meaning this: no matter what shows up on Thursday, I'm still serving God. No matter what shows up in May, I'm still following Jesus. No matter what happens, no matter what phone calls, texts, and emails I get, I have a perseverance. No matter what Goliaths show up for the rest of my year, if God has called me to kingdom, then kingdom is where I'm going, and the king is what I will be. I'm headed that way. Third thing the process produces is patience. That's the right attitude. I'm still working on that one, church. I'm a whole lot better than I used to be, but I'm not everything I need to be. Patience is an amazing thing because patience, as I said last week, patience means one of two things. It means I am not ready for it or it is not ready for me. If I'm not ready for it, I don't want it. If it's not ready for me, I don't need it. I want patience. Patience to say, God, I'm going to be patient in the process, but I'm going to be faithful to you in the process. And while I'm serving you, God, I believe that you are doing everything that I cannot do. And in the process of time, there that word is again, timing is everything. While I'm worshiping you, you are working on me. And the fourth thing, which is one of the most powerful words you can ever get, is perspective. In the process, you find God's perspective. When you go through the sanctification process, the breaking down of flesh and the building up of spirit, church. And let me say that again. When you come into the presence of God, whether it's on a Wednesday night or whether it's in your secret place of thunder on Friday morning, whether it's at a stoplight on Saturday afternoon, when you are in the presence of God, realize this. In his presence, your flesh is breaking down, but your spirit is building up. It's becoming stronger. And when I get God's perspective, my flesh decreases. And the Bible says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And so through the process of following Jesus and the process of sanctification, we get God's perspective. God's perspective will change everything because you see what he sees. When we talk about sanctification, we talked very early in our definition that it means set apart for a sacred reason. It means holy, but it also means to consecrate. And I didn't give this scripture, just actually came to me while we were worshiping. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 says, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. What does that mean? It's not the pastor's job to consecrate you. It's leaders' jobs to call you to consecration, but we can't consecrate you. That is why I believe that there's a lot of well-meaning, misguided denominations that want to have confirmation services for children, and they want to baptize children. But the problem with that is the power of baptism is the power of choice. That I follow Jesus into the waters of baptism. I'm not drugged into the waters. I'm not held down. The water's not brought to me, but I get up one morning and say, Jesus, I'm going to the water. So Leviticus says this, consecrate yourselves. It's not anyone else's decision whether you are going to commit to the process except you. When you come to church, we are going to encourage you to live a life different than your peers. We're going to call you to a greater faith than those maybe you grew up with or those that you run around with. We're going to call you to grow in your maturity and in your faith in a way that makes you different than you were this time last month or last year. But the only one who can consecrate you is you. The only one that can commit to the sanctification process is you. There are two prayers, and this is really, I'll tell you my process. This is really where God gave me this series. I was mowing grass. My greatest conversations with God happen when I mow grass. And here's what God told me. He said there's two prayers that every sanctified person should be praying. Here's the two prayers. The first one is, it's tough, it's difficult, it's tough to pray. The first prayer is this: God, remove everything from my life that is not from you, or listen to this, for me. Take a picture. It'll last longer. God, take everything. We call it purge. Purge from my life. Take away from my life anything, anyone that is not conducive, anything that is not from you, take it from me. Anything that is not for me. That is why we should never covet what someone else has, because it might be good for them, but it might not be good for you. They might be at a different level of spiritual maturity than we are, and so that's why I praise God when you get yours, but I'm saying, God, I'm next, but God, I don't want that. I want what you have for me, but before I can get what you have for me, I want to be sanctified, and I want you to take some things out of me. That's a difficult prayer. You know why? Because in the Western church, our prayers are always give me, never take from me. And then when we do get bold and we say take from me, it's always take cancer from me. Take this weight from me. But God is saying, I'll do all of that, but there's some things that are holding you back. There's some things that are not allowing you to live at a sanctified level, at a holy level. There's some things that I'm wanting to do in you. There's some things I'm wanting to use you to do. But unless you consecrate yourself, unless you go through the process of sanctification, unless you open yourself and say, God, whatever is in me that is not of you, I want you to take it from me. And you know why that's such a difficult prayer to pray? Some of us like the stuff. And even the bad stuff. Some of us say we hate drama, but we really love it. Because if we were to live a drama-free life, we would create drama just so we have drama to complain about. Some of us have fallen in love with the stuff that is holding us back. And so that's why we're not pinpointing, God, I want you to do this and take this and take this. That's why we just open up our lives and say, God, whatever is not of you, take it from me right now. What? Who? Whoever is not from you. Whoever is not for me, take it. Take them from my life. You said, but I love them. Oh, do you love them more than what God has purposed and planned for your future? I love everybody, but there is not one person on the face of the earth that is worth my calling, that is worth my anointing, that is worth my creative purpose. God has called you to great things. God has called you to big things. And until you say, God, I'm sanctified. And so a lot of us have fallen in love with stuff. But here's the other thing. A lot of us don't like the surgery we have to go through. The scalpel. Sometimes there is no anesthetics. Come on. Some of you ladies that know what it's like to get to the hospital too late for the epidural. And that doctor, one woman said, oh, Lord, all that pain came back. But knowing that you've got to go through this process, and there's no painkillers. But what happens is when you realize what's on the other side of the process, that you get to hold a baby. And see, I lost all the men talking about pregnancy, but there's some things that God wants to get out of you, and there's some things that God has for you, and some of us have been holding on. Mama, you can't hold on to the baby. You're going to have to turn loose and go through the process, but at the end of your pushing, you are going to find the promise. And I'm here to announce to somebody on a Wednesday night, keep pushing. Even when no one else is pushing, keep pushing. Let me tell you, there's some people that don't even know you're pushing, but they're going to be there at the end in the waiting room with some balloons and a toy saying, look at what you did. They didn't even know what you just went through to get where you are. And so I'm telling all the pregnant people on a Wednesday night, stay committed to the process. Trust the process. God is doing it. But we've got to get to the place to say, God, even what I'm trying to hold on to, I give you permission to take it away. I think there's some mature believers in the room today, watching online today, that can say, Pastor, I agree. There's some people 10 years ago that I was sad when God took them out of my life. I was sad when I moved beyond them. But now when I look back and I see where they are and I see where I am, I said, God, I'm so glad that I let you put surgery on me. I'm so glad that I let you cut some things out. There's some things that we held on to that we loved, that we were so sad and disappointed, maybe even mad when God took them away. But now when you look at who you used to be compared to who you are today, you are glad that you gave God the permission. God, remove it. Remove it out of me. Purge. Purge those things. Psalm 51, verse 10. Psalm of David. But I love this psalm, and I preached about it, but I want to preach on it for the next few moments, because here's the prayer of the sanctified. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart. Created me a clean heart. If anything that this series is going to do for you, believer, is teach you how to pray. And I'm not telling you not to pray for promotion. And I'm not telling you not to pray for a house if that's the dream and if that's a desire. And I'm not telling you to pray for a car, not pray for a car if you're riding a bus or walking or riding a bicycle. But there is so much more that could be prayed than just the wish list of the things we need. And David tapped into this, and he said this in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. O God, thou God of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Powerful sanctification prayer. This is not the prayer prayed by David before he defeated Goliath. This is not the prayer that David prayed on his inauguration day as the king of Israel. This is the prayer that David prayed after he committed adultery with someone else's wife and had the man killed. This is a man that says, I'm not sanctified, but I'm on my way back. And you can say what you want about David. You can call him an adulterer and a premeditated murderer. You can call him the prince of praise. You can call him giant killer. But one thing that you cannot not say about him is that sanctification, he knew when he was wrong how to get right. And I'm here to announce to you, if you're wrong, you're in the right church, because we know how to get you right. His name is Jesus. If you messed up last Friday night, you're in a good place on Wednesday night, because we're not here to condemn you. We are here to say, pick yourself up. Let God dust you off. Grace is applied. Grace is available. But your repentance tonight can start that sanctification process again. So here's the prayer of David. Create in me a clean heart. Remember what David has just done. He said, God, my heart's dirty. Remember, your heart is deceitfully wicked. Above all, the Bible says, who can know your heart? There's only one that knows your heart, and that's God. But the enemy works in your heart. That's why some of the worst advice you can get is to follow your heart. David followed his heart, and it got him in a very unsanctified place. He said, God, clean my heart. Delete my history. Come on. Cover me. Wash me. Ephesians says we are washed by the word of God. Remember what David prayed? He said, Lord, he said, I hide the word of God in my heart that I might not sin. When we say clean my heart, it's not just a wiping away, it's what you're putting in. Sanctification has more about what you're putting in than what is coming out. That is why sanctification, the best sanctification, is done in the private moments of your life on days other than Sunday. Can I encourage you, church? God wants to hear you just as much on Friday afternoon as he does Sunday morning at 11:20. Can I tell you that God wants to spend time with you, not on days where you need something, but days just walking with him saying, God, I had some unclean thoughts today, but I need to spend some time with you, because the last time I know what happened, but God, the difference between the last time and this time, I can feel myself slipping, and so I'm going to spend some time in the process of sanctification, creating me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. If there's a right spirit, there's a wrong spirit. Renew in me a right spirit. Renew means it was there, or it is there, it's just suppressed. I want to talk to some dormant dominion people. It's in you. That's why Paul would tell Timothy, stir up the gift. That's why Paul didn't say, I'm going to stir it up. Stir up the gift. That's another way of saying, hey, sanctify yourself. Hey, consecrate yourself. Stir up the gift, which leads me to believe if an old man named Paul is talking to a young man named Timothy, and the old man is having to remind the young man to stir up the gift, then an immature characteristic of a believer, if you have to be reminded to stir up your gift, you are not mature yet, and you need to commit to the process of sanctification. And maturity has nothing to do with age. Maturity has how long have you walked with God? How long have you lived for God? How long have you woke up looking for Him, following Him, seeking Him? Keep me in your presence, he says. So the last time I got out of your presence, I got in her presence. And then when I got in her presence, I had to call her husband into my presence. And then when I called her husband into my presence, I put her husband out on the front line of the army's presence and had him killed. Whenever you are out of God's presence, there's always going to be a casualty. Let me say that again. Dad, mom, whenever you get out of the presence of God, there is always going to be a casualty. And sometimes a casualty is not you. It's not fair that Uriah was killed for David's mistake. It's not fair that Bathsheba lost a child because of David's unsanctification. So I say this not to scare you, but to implore you, beseech you, beg you, and encourage you. You better get sanctified, mom and dad, because your kids are relying on you. Dad, husband, you better stay sanctified. Your marriage depends on it. Leader, you better stay sanctified. This church is leaning on you, looking to you. Are you sanctified? Because the people following you, they might become the casualties. Nathan had to confront David. David almost looks as if he gets off scot-free. But David has to now live for the rest of his life knowing that because I got out of the presence of God, it put me in the presence of the enemy, and the enemy wrecked and ruined my life. Keep me in your presence. Number four, keep me in your spirit. The Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. That's the evidence that the Spirit is in you. That's the evidence. So that's why Paul would say, I speak in tongues more than you all. It's not a church thing. The Holy Spirit is an everyday thing. I don't know how many times that I've just broken into speaking in tongues. I don't know how many times that the Spirit has worked in me on a Thursday, on a Saturday, on a Monday, on a Tuesday. Keep me in your spirit. Number five, he said, once you've done all this, he said, I will teach your ways. I will teach the transgressors. What he's saying is if you do this for me, if this sanctified process works for me, he said, I will become a testifier of what you've done for me, and I will teach transgressors. I love this. Whatever God saved you from, you now have a ministry in. Whatever God called you out of, you now have an anointing to call other people out of. And David said, hey, we've got some crazy people in Israel, but God, because of what you've done, because I've sanctified, because I've got a clean heart, a right spirit, I'm in your presence and I've got your spirit. He said, I will now teach those. And then he said, and I will convert them. Can I just declare that in 2022, for the rest of this year, 8.5 months, we are going to convert thousands of people to followers of Jesus Christ. We're not going to just fill a building. We are going to fill people. We are going to see lives transform. We're going to be able to say, this is how I used to be, but look at what God has done. This is what I used to struggle with, but look at what God has done. Then he uses a phrase in the King James, deliver me from blood guilty Ness, one word. This is the first time where David identifies why he's praying this prayer. He said, the blood of Uriah that's on my hands, I can't sleep without seeing his face. I can't lead to a place in the future always thinking about my past. What he's really dealing with is condemnation from the enemy. It's condemnation because he said, I don't have your spirit, so it's not conviction. Can I encourage the church in the room and online today? Whatever your past is, once you repent of it, it is under the blood. You don't have to be guilty of it. That shame does not follow you. All of those mistakes don't follow you. When you said, Jesus, I want you to take it away, he covers it with his blood, and you stand just as clean as Adam and Eve stood on the first day of their creation. I want to encourage you tonight. Some of you have been carrying way too many things, trying to carry them into your future. Some of you are worried about things you did 20 years ago. Some of you are concerned about things you did 3 months ago, but I'm here to tell you, if you repented of it, it's over. If you haven't repented, do it tonight. It'll be over, and you can walk out of here with no guilt. The God of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips. My mouth shall show forth thy praise. He said, I will praise. This is the prayer of the sanctified. This is the prayer of purge. This is the prayer of God renew. This is the prayer of God take out of me the things that are not supposed to be a part of my life. And so the number one thing we pray is, God, remove anything from my life that is not from you or for me. Here's the second prayer in closing. God, remove me from everything. Everyone, every place that is not from you or for me. Did you catch it? The first one was, God, remove from me. The second prayer is, God, remove me from. Sometimes God says the only reason it's in you is because of where you are. And if you would just get a new scenery, if you would just shift over to a new friend group, come on now. If you would shift over to a couple different hobbies than happy hour on your way home from work, if you'd get a couple Bible-believing, spirit-filled friends that are going to encourage you, inspire you, and challenge you, he said, the prayer that you need to pray is, God, remove it from me. But after you do that, God, I need you to remove me from the places where all of those things keep getting in me. I'm going to guard where I go. I'm going to guard who I go with. I'm going to guard who I spend time with. Why? Because I am sanctified. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, trust the process. Trust the process. Psalm 37, verse 23, I'm closing. Just a couple minutes. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. I think Pastor Manny was the first person that I ever heard say this. She said it on a Saturday night. God will order your steps, but you have to move your feet. There's a lot of us, God, order my steps today. Yeah, but you have control over your feet. You have control. That's why David, man, we're talking a lot about David tonight. He said, God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Meaning, God, you show me where to go and I will pick up my foot and I'm going to put my right there. That's a sure place. That's the word. And here's a promise. I'm going to stand right there. Anytime we hit a stumbling block, it's because the word of God is not leading us or we did not put our feet where they were ordered by God. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean on under thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what I love about this? He said, and he shall direct thy paths. He didn't say he will direct thy people on the paths. He said, I'll talk to the path. I'll move the mountains. I'll make sure the way is straight. It might be narrow, but it's going to be straight. And you know what I love about the road? I mean, maybe I shouldn't love it, but you know what I love about the road to heaven? It's narrow and the traffic ain't bad. But I want to encourage you, we ought to be getting more traffic on this road. But I'm here to tell you, our prayer of sanctification is, God, take it out of me and take me out of it. And God, direct my feet, order my steps, order the path, direct our path. But God, when I wake up, I'm leaning into you on where I go, what I do. If you're not ready for God to flip your life upside down, you need not apply for the sanctification process. I'm going to go through these real quick, and I want to spend a lot of time, but I'm not going to. Some things you need to know about the sanctification process. Sanctification never ends. It's like eating healthy. Never ends. That's why it's hard to diet, because you're not really dieting. That's why people tell you, oh, it can't be a diet. It's got to be a way of life. See, I plan on living 100. If I only had to diet for 90 days, I think I could do it. I know I could. But when you tell me, man, 60 years, you got to eat right. Holy smoke, 60 years? We live in the city of fajitas and enchiladas and sopapillas. And they got there, and the devil's just tempting us, open up all these good restaurants within walking distance of the church. It never ends. Because as you grow in God, the giants grow. As you grow in the level of your faith, bigger devils show up, bigger adversaries show up. Sanctification never ends. So if you're not going to complete it, don't start it. Don't stop and go and stop and go. Sanctification never ends. Sanctification will always challenge you. Oh, I want to be challenged. But the first time someone challenges you, don't judge me. First time someone challenges you, oh, I don't like that. That's I'm going to find another church. So first time someone challenges you, get thee behind me, Satan. The first time somebody challenges you to a higher level of living, oh, I've gotten people mad at me when I've just called them to a holy biblical standard. I challenged them. Sanctification will always stretch you. Stretching is uncomfortable, but after stretching, you can do things post-stretch that you couldn't do pre-stretch. The sanctification process gets rid of your flesh, gets more of His Spirit flowing in you, around you, and on you, and you are capable after and during sanctification than you were before. Sanctification will always make you uncomfortable. I remember Tyler and Jaden going through growing pains. I know we like to say growing pains. It's not pains, it's pains. P-A-N-G-S. Growing pains. I remember Jaden waking up crying. I remember Tyler waking up, Dad, it hurts, it hurts. I said, yeah, but you don't want to be 3'2" your whole life. You're going to like the end result. I remember going through growing pains. I only went through them like 2.5 weeks, evidently, because here I am, 5'7¾". And I am 3/4. Don't you take that away from me. It all matters. Uncomfortable builds you. Uncomfortable makes you depend on Jesus. Then I love this. Sanctification will always keep you close to the presence of God. This world's getting crazy and crazier by the second. It's amazing to me that you can kill a baby and not call it murder. That you can do that with all that we know about life and the heartbeat. It amazes me that at 5 years old, we are gender training children. Mandy said it, and she was half joking, but she was serious. She said, man, shout out to my mom that didn't make me change my gender when I went through my tomboy phase. Oh, it's getting quiet. But I find myself not worrying about all of that when I stay in the presence of God.